there was a package that exploded inside of the home.
Police saying the city is likely facing a serial killer who has been linked to 4 bombings so far this month.
These packages are being delivered during the nighttime hours.
We have a trauma activation, 65-year-old female, penetrating trauma, head and torso.
4 bombings in the city over the past 3 weeks are linked and maybe the work of a serial bomber.
We will leave no stone unturned because we are not going to allow this to go on in our city.
I haven't heard a word about any of the Austin bombings from anyone within my community.
I'm absolutely horrified. The more it looks completely random, the more frightened I become.
But together as people, as beings that have been affected, black and brown people being affected in the beginning and now all of Austin being affected. So
filled with limited information, it causes an incredibly vulnerable feeling, thinking schools will be targeted next.
It's so hard to have your community in the national news about something that is so terrible and so distant from everything your community is known for.
It has been a long, almost 3 weeks for the community of Austin. Package bombs and other types of bombs that have been placed throughout our community. We have seen members of our community that have lost their lives and others whose lives have been forever changed due to significant injuries. But beginning within the past 24 to 36 hours, we started getting information on one person of interest. We felt very confident that this was the suspect in the bombing incidents that took place in Austin. As members of the Austin Police Department SWAT team approached the vehicle, the suspect detonated a bomb inside the vehicle. The suspect is deceased. We do not know what the motive was behind that, and hopefully as we continue this investigation, we will uncover some facts so that we can try and understand, although this is something that there is no rationale for, but we can try and understand what his motive was. Thank you very much.
Late last night, a suspect in the bombings that have terrorized the Austin metropolitan area in Texas blew himself up in a car in the town of Round Rock after being chased by police. You heard the voices of worried and concerned citizens around Austin there. You also heard Police Chief Brian Manley describe the suspect's death there in a press conference early this morning. This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Saeed Hassan has joined us since the beginning of this crisis in Austin. Saeed is a reporter for KUT, and she's back now with the latest. Saeed, welcome once again.
Thank you for having me.
Saeed, tell us some of the details of what happened overnight as described by Chief Brian Manley there and others you've spoken to.
Sure. So last night, the suspect in the Austin bombings was killed after a standoff with an Austin Police Department SWAT team. And this happened in the early morning hours in Round Rock, which is a suburb of Austin. Investigators say they located a vehicle that they believed was being used by the suspect in a parking lot of a hotel. And they called for backup. And while they were waiting for backup to arrive, the suspect began to drive away. At that point, police pursued him in their vehicle. And that's when they say the suspect stopped his vehicle in a ditch along the side of a highway frontage road. And as that SWAT team approached him, the suspect detonated a bomb inside of his vehicle, ultimately killing himself.
Now, the chief said that that individual was a suspect before the chase, that they were closing in on him. He started to drive away, as you said, Saeeda. What have officials said about the information that led them to suspect this person?
Well, we don't know a whole lot about the suspect at this time. Police have said that he was a 24-year-old white male, but police really haven't released a lot of information. They're still working to investigate what exactly the motivation for these attacks may have been, and I'm sure we'll hear more in the days to come.
And have police determined whether this individual acted alone or had help?
We don't know for sure. So that's another reason why our police chief, Brian Manley, is encouraging residents to remain vigilant, because we don't know whether this suspect acted alone or whether there may be other people still out there in the community who may also have been involved in the attacks. So, you know, the police chief encourages residents, though there is somewhat of a sense of relief after the events of the early morning hours, that folks still need to be vigilant and, you know, still be mindful of any suspicious packages or anything that looks out of place in the community.
Right. I imagine there also has to be the very real possibility that other packages could be in the mail system, FedEx, or in places around Austin that may have been placed or sent before the events of last night.
That's right. So Chief Manley noted that, you know, police actually don't know for sure where the suspect was for the past 24 hours before they located him in the vehicle outside of that hotel room. So, you know, there's nothing to say that there may not be other packages or devices that have been left throughout Austin before they came into contact with him. So they're still encouraging folks to be mindful, to continue to call 911 if they come across any suspicious packages. I know police have been just inundated with hundreds and hundreds of calls since they have asked people to report any suspicious packages. And they say just keep on doing that, continue to act out of an abundance of caution.
Well, Saida, we've talked about this as you've joined us so many times during these horrible attacks around Austin, but give a sense as possibly we get to the end of this terrible episode about the attitude and the fear among Austin residents. So much of these attacks seem to be random. It reminds me of attacks like the D.C. sniper attacks in 2002 when people were being shot around the D.C. metro area and citizens just had no idea who was next, being shot at bus stops outside of their cars. The randomness of it was a major tyranny on people.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like what I've heard folks expressing here in Austin over the past 3 weeks. I think that especially with the changing nature of these attacks, with the tripwire and then the packages being shipped through FedEx, that, you know, it seemed really random and really unpredictable. And there wasn't really a way to tell, you know, where this attacker may strike again. And, you know, people were already being mindful of packages, but then things seemed to change. You know, his tactics seemed to change. So after last night, I do think that there is somewhat of a sense of relief in the neighborhood. I've heard a lot of folks expressing on social media that they hope that this is over. But you know, again, I think that there is still somewhat of a sense of uncertainty, and folks are aware that they need to remain vigilant.
Saida Hassan, reporter for KUT in Austin. Saida, thank you, and thank you for joining us as this episode has unfolded in your town.
Thank you for having me.
Six bombs around Austin over the span of 3 weeks. The White House said yesterday there's no apparent nexus to terrorism at this time. And last night, an employee at a Goodwill store outside Austin was injured when a military incendiary device went off while he was moving boxes. Now, investigators don't think that incident is connected to the others. Still, investigators have said the various other bombings across the Austin area seem to be linked. But how do they go about trying to piece together evidence and trying to construct a motive of the person or people responsible? Vicky Woosley is a retired FBI agent who worked on lots of cases, including the Unabomber case, when she was a supervisory special agent in the Psychological Services Unit.
I was not a profiler, but generally I do know that bombers have some common characteristics, and that is, it's a risk. What they're doing is a risk. And that may provide some sort of thrill for the bomb maker. There's a fact that bomb may or may not go off. It may not hit their intended target. And they also risk getting caught when they make the delivery. It'd be impossible to really give a profile without all of the evidence.
The first couple of attacks in Austin, of course, there was suspicion of racial animus. How important are those early days? I don't know if that was only media speculation or if investigators and profilers really chase down potential motives like that. What a psychological profile is like so early in an investigation?
I think early in the investigation, there's sort of no stone left unturned. You want to look at every possibility. And then as you gather more evidence, you're able to eliminate some of those things. If we only had those two incidents, then that's all we would have to look at. But I think in this case in particular, you know, there were several incidents pretty quickly in timing. And so it grew because there were, you know, it was a neighborhood, then it was FedEx, and then it was a tripwire. So they're able to continue to gather evidence. So they don't eliminate anything until they've chased down every lead.
Is there anything that typically drives a person in cases like this, a desire to be heard or an ideological grievance, something like that?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons I believe the Austin police tried to reach out to this individual and ask them to contact the authorities, because if they had a message, they wanted to indicate that they were willing to have that heard. It could be an ideology. It could be, you know, any number of things, but in order to reach out to that person, the hope is that they will, you know, respond in some way, because that could be part of what they're looking for, the attention.
You know, we've heard from a lot of confused and scared members of the community around Austin. At a time like this, does deep community concern help or hinder an investigation? I mean, people are vigilant. They have to be. The community has to be informed. But Austin police have said they've responded to more than 1,200 reports of suspicious packages in little more than a week. Most of them, of course, amount to nothing. And that's a huge tax on resources.
Yeah, it's labor intensive. You're absolutely right. You have to chase down every lead because you don't know which ones could be the one. And so they are, you know, asking the public for help. They're also asking the public, you know, for any videos they may have, any surveillance they may have. I think that's become more common the more we see social media, the more we see people having cameras at their houses. And I think there's a fine line between informing the public and also trying to not scare them.
Based on your experience, digging into the psychology of assailants like this, and we don't know if it's one person or many people, people like the Unabomber and other assailants, what would you expect to find in general when investigators piece together the profile, the age, the demo, the psychology of a suspect here?
You know, right now we know very little, but they will start now working in reverse and trying to put together a complete outline of this individual. Everything from family, friends, where they worked, and get as much as a narrative as possible on this person to, you know, people have this desire to, they want to know why someone did something. And I think that's what they will start to do at this point. I think it's pretty remarkable that they were able to move in on a suspect so quickly. And, you know, I'll be very interested to see, you know, what sort of information they had that led to this. There's certain things that they have to keep close to the vest in order to keep the investigation safe. Investigations like this are difficult. You have to work in reverse, as they did in the Boston Marathon bombing. But you can't neglect to look at every clue and every call that someone makes into authorities, because that could be the clue that you need.
Vicki Woosley, former supervisory special agent in the Psychological Services Unit at the FBI. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.